Evening, if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Once you've found it, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you this evening. We thank you that truly you are the fairest. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and you died for us, and there is no chance that we will ever run to the end of that theme. Even though we had an eternity to sing it and to praise you for it. And Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to lift our voices together. Father, we ask that you would meet with us during this time, that our attention would be fixed upon you, and that we would understand and know your word. Lord, that we would truly be people of your word. And Lord, we ask these things that your name be praised. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall be able also, be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, that the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We have here an encouragement from Paul to Timothy. And you might say, well, this is for Paul to someone who is in the ministry, and so I don't need to listen. But no, this is Paul's encouragement to Timothy, and it is an encouragement to everyone who would serve their Savior. Each one of us who would dedicate our time and our effort to Christ. Any one of us who are willing to submit our lives unto God, this is an encouragement towards us. In verse 1, we find the commonality and the bond that Timothy and Paul had. First, he calls him my son. This is a close tie. Now, we know Timothy was not actually related to Paul except in Christ. And then we find that Paul encourages him to be strong. This is a theme for young men: be strong, young men. But ladies, there is no less a call for you to be strong. It is too easy to faint away, to back off, to give ground in the face of opposition or in the face of wrong teaching. It's too easy to lose that courage. And so this command here to be strong is necessary for us. But notice what Timothy was to be strong in. He wasn't to be strong in physical strength or to be strong in his words. Instead, he is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The foundation for Timothy's life needed to be a foundation that was deeply rooted in the grace that comes from Christ Jesus. That was to be his main comfort, his main anchor. It was to root him and hold him fast. Trees are not any stronger than their roots are deep. If they don't have good root systems, trees are easy to blow over or pull down. But if they have their roots in deep into the ground, they are difficult to move. And the same way, if Timothy was to be strong, he needed to be dug in deep into the grace of Jesus Christ. What does it look like to be established, to be fixed, to be set in concrete about the grace of Christ Jesus? Well, in verse 2, we find that it is the truth that Timothy had been taught. Not the things that he thought might be true, but rather those things that he was sure of. And those were the things he was to be so certain about, and that he was then to pass on to others. Verse 2 of chapter 2 says that what you have heard among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Now, I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to teach, but if you have, you know your subject very well by the time you've taught it to someone else. It is hard to get through the process of teaching someone else and to not have a firm grasp of it yourself. If you didn't understand what you were teaching before you started, you are by the end. Hopefully you're not a confusing teacher. In which case, you didn't teach anything, okay? You just confused people. But if you're going to teach things or commit them to others who are faithful, then you must know it well. And it will be confirmed in your heart each time it is repeated. Paul continues in verse 3, that not only is the grace of Jesus Christ supposed to be what we are relying upon, but also in verse 3, we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This endurance, this enduring of hardness, is to expect, be ready for, to have your stance ready to meet the opposition that is certainly coming your way. If you do not have your defenses prepared, if you are expecting life to be a coast down the river of life and it's going to be easy sailing the whole way, you are going to have a really bad time. But if you are prepared, like the soldier, to endure hardness, and you've got your mindset, no matter what, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving ground. I'm going to keep fighting until the last breath. Then you will be ready when the enemy attacks. How do we endure hardness? How do we prepare ourselves to stand when those troubling times come? How do we prepare ourselves so that we are ready when someone challenges our faith or tries to distract us with side issues or confuse us about what the Scripture says? Well, in verse 4, we find that no man who warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. Those who are good soldiers, they have removed from their life things that would hold them back, things that would trip them up, things that would keep them from being able to perform their task, which is to make war. The end of verse 4 tells us that they are there to please him who hath chosen them to be a soldier. You may say, well, I only put my hand up to Jesus and said, you know, save me from hell. Did you know if you've done that, you've put your hand up to volunteer to be a soldier in his army. You've put your hand up to volunteer to act upon his behalf. You have put your hand up to say, I want to please you, God. I want to please you. I want to do the things that are pleasing to you. Soldiers sometimes have to endure hardness, and it is not the pleasant things. They stay up all night watching. That's a really hard one. They march around and around and around and around, and sometimes move this to over there and then back again for seemingly no purpose except to keep them fit or to keep them occupied. They must walk through the mud, crawl under the barbed wire. That's more modern. But they must push through all kinds of difficulties, doing those things that they are asked to do. That's their reason for being there. They are to strive continually, conquering, not because they are good soldiers who have, you know, just done the things that they wanted to do, but they are good soldiers because they have done the things that Jesus wanted them to do. What things are there that we hold tight to, that were taught to us but are not taught to us of the Scriptures? Or what things are there in our life that we hold tight even though they do not help us to make warfare spiritually? What things trip us up in that battle day by day? Those are things we should be pleased to take out of our life so that we might please him who had chosen us. There's a theme here in this passage about what God, that is Jesus, has chosen. He chose us to fight this battle. You know, each one of us faces different circumstances. Even brothers and sisters, while growing up in the same household, grow up in the same household at a different time. And we have different friends and enemies that we have to deal with through sports and school. We all face a different life, an individual life. And we all face those battles on our own. We do not have the same battles, the same warfare. We have to look to God to show us what he would have us do. And we have to take that stand on our own. We cannot say, well, my dad, he's a good Christian, and he stands for God, and my brother, he's going the right way, and sister, and, you know, I'm not doing anything evil right now. No, we have to be striving and conquering in our own lives. This is a difficult task. We have to be that good soldier. If we jump down now to verse 5, we find that this struggle is one that involves more than just us doing a few of the right things, battling the right enemies, but it includes us striving in a manner that is pleasing to God. So it's not just that Jesus has said to us, go and take that mountain over there, but rather that God has prescribed for us how he wants us to move in this battle, and we must strive lawfully. We must do things in the correct order. The illustration in verse 6 of the husbandman, this is that the husbandman, the one who is tending the fruits, is the first one to know when they are ripe and the first one to be able to partake of them. This is in the correct order of things. If the husbandman was the last to know that the fruits were ready to go, that would be bad. He would be a bad husbandman. He wouldn't be doing properly tending the grapes if he's the last person to find out they're ripe. No, if he's doing things as he ought to be, at the right time, he will know the fruits are going to be there and he will be ready for it. You and I, as good soldiers, must be ready and doing things in the proper order at the proper time. Our striving for God needs to be correct. If we jump down now to verse 10, we come across this word endure another time. If we were to make the main theme of 2 Timothy, we would probably have to include something about endurance and faith. Because here is this word endure again, and Paul is saying, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We have here what might be a confusing statement, but we have here a precious statement. This shows us the heart of Paul. He is willing to endure, to bear under, to carry a heavy load in order to help those who are saved to not only obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, but also to attain eternal glory. You see, too many Christians are satisfied with the, I got my get out of hell free card, and now, you know, I make my appearance at church, that's all I'm going to do. And they are satisfied with that limited amount of effort. And yet, Paul's hope is to stir up Timothy and everyone else. Notice he's not aiming here at just Timothy. He says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that is, those who are saved, that they may obtain not only salvation, but also eternal glory. Eternal glory. This is not because Paul wants us to be puffed up, but rather this is him saying that when we do things of eternal value, they are stored up for us. And yes, we will cast our crowns down before Jesus and say it is only because of him. Yet still there is glory in the fact that we have done what he desired, that we have served our Savior well. We have heard him cry out, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In other words, salvation is merely the starting point, not the ending point of our soldiering. We are not soldiering to obtain salvation, but rather with our salvation to also attain that eternal glory that we can have. It is possible for each one in this room to see God use you in reaching someone else. It is possible for each one in this room to see God work in your heart so much that the fruit in your life abounds more and more and more. This brings glory to God, and this also brings glory to us. Our aim, again, is not to puff ourselves up, but rather that we would have glory that lasts through eternity. In verse 8, we have an example of David. Remember that Jesus Christ... this is an example of Jesus. Look at the wrong word. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You see, Paul's suffering, his bearing under as a soldier, included being bound in prison. It included being confined to his house. It included going on a ship and being shipwrecked on his way to Rome. Paul's sufferings, his trouble, this burden that he bore, was so that God's word could go out unbound. We often bind the Word of God. We keep it closed. You know, this is my Bible. I take it with me. It's mine. Instead of, as was been described in the testimony time, sharing God's Word to others, letting the Word of God be unbound in the hearing of those around us. This should be one of our main goals, that every day we have opportunity to share God's word, that it will go beyond us and impact others, that it will come out from us and help others, that it will allow us to teach some who are faithful that they may teach others also. You see, our striving here is not a striving of physical might. It is not us battling through another day. It is a striving against those things which would hold us back. It is a striving against our own cowardice in speech. It is striving against our own faithless heart. I don't know if you know the hymn, "Prone to Wander." Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. This is where we are often at. We turn away our eyes from the Savior, and if it be but for a day or for an hour, we ignore our duty to Him. We ignore the fact that He had done so much for us, and His desire for us, that is, Jesus' desire for us, is not merely our salvation, but is that we would go on to bring forth much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit, but much fruit. This wasn't Jesus' design just for the 12 disciples. This wasn't Jesus' design for those extraordinary Christians. This is Jesus' design for each one of us. If we have obtained salvation, then let us push on to obtain eternal glory. Where then can we turn? Where then can we turn? We are soldiers. We are to be strong. We're to be enduring. We're to be striving lawfully. But where do we turn? How can we keep such a difficult trust? If we read verse 13, we find a bit of hope. We'll just read 11 through 13, but 13 in particular gives us a great deal of hope. It is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." You may say, "Well, my struggle is internal. My struggle has been with not only the sin in my life, but my ability to serve him. I doubt that I can be of any use to my Savior." And yet, we find that even if we believe not, that is, even if our faith falters, that word "believe not" could also be rendered faithless. If we are faithless to God, that is, if we do not keep ranks with him, even if we slide back from serving him, or even if we slide back into our sin and we wallow in it, yet still Jesus, he abideth faithful. You see, the one who rescued us when we were in the pit, the one who lifted us up out of the miry clay, he is not going to then turn his back upon those that he cares for. He is not then going to turn his back upon us. Instead, he will faithfully draw us again. He cannot deny himself. There is room here for someone who thinks they are saved, but are not. But in most cases, you know in your own heart if you have turned to Christ for salvation, and then you should not be overturned, regardless of what doubts come into your mind. For if we have called out to him, he has rescued us. He has delivered us. If we have called out to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And once that is done, he cannot deny himself. You are not seen. He is seen. You are not the one who is going to stand at the dock before God and say, "It is on my righteousness that I stand here." It is Christ who stands there and says, "This is mine. I died for him. My blood on him. He is clean. He is righteous." And so Jesus Christ cannot deny himself. He will not turn his back upon you. If you are truly his, you are his for eternity. This is quite an encouraging fact. But this goes further in that if we believe not, that if we are faithless, yet he remains faithful. You say, "Well, I turned my back on him," or "I failed to do my devotions," or "I," and you fill in the blank, "I committed this sin that I had said to God, I don't want to commit this sin ever again." Yet Jesus abideth faithful. He abideth faithful. He's standing there waiting. You don't have to get saved again. You don't have to wait for a period of time of mourning or, do your penance. That's a Catholic thing. You don't have to perform some act of contrition. You merely need to turn again to Christ. You merely need to say, "Lord, this sin as well. This sin as well. Jesus, help me again. I failed again." And Jesus abides faithful. We are alive with him. And what that means is we are given to an eternal struggle until he comes back. That is an unending struggle until He comes again. At that point, we will be with him. We will be changed to be like him. But until that point, we have struggle. We have to endure hardness. We have to fight like a soldier. We have to try to please him. This is a different perspective than the perspective that the world gives us. Each person is looking for that thing which pleases them most. Oh, what makes you happy? How many times have you heard that in your life? Someone talking to someone else. Oh, whatever makes you happy. Oh, how can I make you more happy? You know, what will please you best? That is the attitude of the world. But our attitude instead needs to be, what pleases Jesus who bought us and whose soldiers we are? What pleases him best? Does he want us to jump? Then our answer is, how high? It's not, oh, do I really have to? Or can I do it tomorrow? Or why not just walk around the obstacle? Our answer is, how high? Because our intention is to obey. We only are asking details about our obedience. Jesus wants us to be good soldiers. And Paul was encouraging Timothy here. He started out crying for Timothy to be strong. And then he describes to him how he can endure. And now we have seen that only because Jesus is faithful will we be able to stand as soldiers who have conquered. Our conquering is not seen in that we survived life to the end. Our conquering is not seen in that we amassed a lot of wealth. But our conquering is seen in that we have wrought with Jesus Christ to see salvation come to its full glory. We have seen God work in our hearts, and the fruit is evident. We have seen God work through our lips, and souls have turned to our Savior. We have seen God work, and those things which are lasting to eternal glory, those are the things that we need to aim for. And so I ask you today, are you a soldier of Christ? Are you strong? Are you enduring? Or do you need to rest upon the one who will never fail us, that is Jesus Christ? Do you need to trust that he will abide faithful? Those are your two options. Because failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. Don't give up now. Look to him. He will be faithful to us. Let us strive to be faithful to him. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you are faithful and you are true, that everything that you have aimed for us to do are things that not only can be done, but that you will help us to do. Lord, we ask that you would give us the wisdom to stand strong, to be unmovable, unshakable, to be faithful to you no matter what. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the understanding of your word, that we would hold the truth and not hold those things which keep us from serving you, that we would not be entangled with the affairs of this world to the extent that it keeps us from serving you, but rather that we would endure whatever hardness that you ask us to do, that we would obey immediately with as much as we've got. And Lord, we ask that you would change us to bear much fruit, that we would not be satisfied with a little bit of praise today, but that we would be looking for that eternal glory that is coming for those who serve you. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with us through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.